What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. And today I'm joined with Coach Nick.
Hi, Coach Steve. How are you?
I'm good. And we are going to be starting a new segment that we're going to call the Challenge Show. We'll come up with a funky name for it. Yep. But we're going to go week by week with the challenge, live with you guys, and we are going to be giving you a summary of what's happening in the challenge and then answer some common questions that have been brought up in that week and then offer our tips along the way. It's going to be great. You
it's
excited?
Going to be excellent. Very. I can't wait. Lucky I don't have to.
No, we're here now. So look, let's. What week are we in now? We're in prep week.
Yeah,
so
we're
recording this at the start of prep week of the January challenge. And prep week's always exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where we're, you know, looking at these new training plans, new nutrition plans, lots of information, lots of excitement in the challenge, lots of the engagement in the challenge on the Facebook group, on the forum, everything in between. It's almost like the honeymoon period.
Yeah.
You know, when you just maybe started dating someone, maybe you've got a new toy, maybe you've got a new thing that you're interested in, a new hobby, like it's that honeymoon period where everything's exciting.
But I think new and shiny.
I think now is a good time to reflect on the future when things might not be new and shiny. So, you know, when you're a month in, 2 months in, 3 months in, where, you know, things aren't as exciting anymore, but we've still got to turn up every day and get the job done, right?
Exactly.
Now, I guess when we're talking prep week, some people might be confused. What should we be doing in prep week? So, Nick, I guess the question to you is, what do you think people should be doing in this prep week or this week before the challenge begins?
I think it's really important to prepare your environment. So that is all the way through from looking at your sheets, looking at your training, doing your shopping, making sure that your actual environment is clean. I like a good clean environment. So pretty spacious. Also, thinking of things such as your workout clothes, everything, preparing everything that you can think of, preparing also your family emotionally for what you're going to go through, getting your support network together. So it's a lot of different stuff, and it's almost worth writing down for people. Like, grab a pen and write down different obstacles that you sort of need to clean up, if you like, before you go into this challenge. That's for the best possible mindset.
Yeah, I agree. I think we're really looking at the environment that we're going to do the challenge in, right? Because your environment really is going to dictate your transformation.
Absolutely.
And that environment starts from the home environment, right? So I guess my tip to you is, you know, consider what your home environment looks like. And we can start right in the kitchen. So right now, take a moment to look around your kitchen area if you are at home. Or if you're driving, maybe check out your kitchen when you get home. And think about, you know, is this environment supportive of the challenge? And, you know, maybe you live in a busy household where there's not enough space in your fridge or your cupboard for, you know, maybe meal prep or bits and pieces in between. But then maybe you could have a conversation with the people you live with and see if there is a way for you to make more space in your kitchen or your pantry, or more space in the kitchen, or you have a little bit of a U area in your kitchen.
Yeah.
But, you know, talking about the kitchen, do you have any tips for challengers to set up their kitchen so that it's supportive for their challenge?
Yeah, for me, because I have kids and I have a husband who eats whatever he pretty much wants as well, which is great, that's fine. But for me, I like to absolutely clear my own area out. So I've got quite a large area. I'm lucky enough to have made that area. So I have that, and that's pretty much my section. I love to, this is just a tip from me, what I like to do is every single time I'm doing something new, I like to get myself some new containers at Kmart. They're like $3. So new meal prep containers. Everything's fresh, so it's nice. It doesn't matter how many times you've done something. Everything's fresh. Make sure also that things like even a non-stick pan for your meal prep, stuff like that, that's really good. Just make sure that the utensils that you're using are not going to cause you problems. Make sure that your knives are sharp. You know, just little things like that that will save you time in the long run. So I like to make sure that all that's going on. But also, say for me, I also like to organise my shopping lists because I'm the one that does all the shopping. So it'll be around my family as well. So it's like, this is what we're eating, and I have to work out what everyone else wants to eat around that as well. And then I have to kind of meet in the middle. So I just make sure to do all that.
I think all those little things really add up, right? It's all about like making it easy. And sometimes it's worth taking a step back and going, what would this look like if it was easy? So what would the system of meal prep or the system in the kitchen look like so that it was easy for me to do the challenge. And sometimes we have a system in the kitchen where there's so much of what we call friction that's stopping us from completing that action, right?
Yeah,
so that absolutely. Could be that, you know, maybe all your Tupperware container cupboard is really messy,
no,
so you don't
lids,
use it yourself.
Nothing.
No lids, right?
You know,
so you've created lots of friction to
exactly.
stop you from doing that.
Yeah.
Or you've got really dodgy knives
yeah.
or a crappy fry
can't
pan.
Cut the meat properly.
Right.
Even that
yeah.
is enough to just go, oh, I'll just get takeaway. I can't think
yeah.
of cutting that chicken tonight
yeah.
or something. So it's just little things like that, they add up and
yeah.
they can be made so easy just by treating your kitchen to a few extra little things or even just finding a knife sharpener. I mean, that sounds silly,
yeah.
but even just getting one of those and just making sure that everything's sharp. Sharp knife, sharp mind.
Sharp knife, sharp mind.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You hear it here first. you know, the other thing we can think about in the kitchen is, I guess, all those foods that we know we shouldn't be eating, right? I'm talking about, you know, those sweets, the candy,
yeah.
you know, your kryptonite, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's hard when you live in a household with other people, right? You know, Nick,
oh,
you mentioned
definitely.
your kids and your husband
yeah.
and, you know, my partner, you know, they enjoy certain foods that I know that I shouldn't be eating, but when I stare at it every single day, I'm eventually going to grab a little lolly or something from the fridge. But that really comes down to friction, right? Because sometimes you can't eliminate it. Where in the perfect situation, if you were living by yourself, you want to eliminate it. You don't want the chips in the house, right? You don't want your kryptonite nearby.
Yep.
You want to make it really difficult for you to have that
and
item.
You just wouldn't buy it.
You
like
wouldn't
if
buy
it was just you alone, you wouldn't buy it. And
no.
that, but we can all create this scenario in our head. If I was this and if I was
yeah.
that, but it doesn't happen. So the chips are there.
What
are we going to
do? Yeah.
What are we going to do, Steve?
My little tip that I do is I create a contraband cupboard for myself.
Yeah.
So any item of food that I know that will be tempting for me,
mm-hmm.
I make it really hard for me to access that.
Yeah.
So I'll put it in, instead of it being in my kitchen, I might put it in the laundry cupboard.
Yeah.
So instead of me looking at it every single day with this constant reminder of, oh, those chips, geez, they look good today. I want a chip today. I make it really hard for me to do that. So
mm-hmm.
I have a contraband cupboard. And what you know, good-willed family members do, you know, around Easter time, Christmas time, they'll give you maybe a box of chocolates or a bottle of wine or something
yes.
like that. Now, if those were just living out on the, you know, the kitchen table, you're going to stare at it every day, eventually going to open up that box of chocolate,
you
right?
You will. When you're underprepared one day, you're a little bit tired,
you're
going to
give
just,
in.
You just will.
Yeah. But then if it's in the, you know, in the laundry or the pantry or the hidden closet that you're not looking at every day, then you're less likely to have it,
yeah.
right? So it's about creating friction, stopping yourself from doing those tasks you don't want to do, but
yeah.
then making those things that you do want to do really easy. So if you want to eat more fruits and vegetables, have them more openly available,
have
like a fruit
there.
Bowl, right?
Yeah, stick it out
yeah.
there. Don't keep, just because some fruit is kind of, you don't have like your good fruit that you save. You know when you go and get fruit and it's like, that's the good fruit. I'll put that somewhere else. Leave it out.
This is a display fruit.
Yeah.
This is the good fruit.
Leave
yeah.
the good fruit
yeah.
out. Like the plums, the apricots, whatever's out, whatever's in season. You just eat it because we think of it as our, I mean, that might be an Italian thing, but we think of it as the good fruit and then the apples are the other fruit. But eat it when it's there, you know, display it and just, yeah, go for that first because also fresh, colourful, delicious fruit is appealing when it's
yeah.
new and fresh and it's out there. So don't hide it in the fridge or something like that. Just
yeah.
put it out there.
Put it out there.
Yeah.
Not good. All right, let's talk about training. So either most people will be training either at home or
yeah.
in a gym, like
yeah.
a commercial gym.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know anywhere else you could train.
The park, maybe.
Maybe,
I mean, if
yeah.
you sort of developed a love for outdoor training during lockdown and, yeah, you're at the park, but the
you're
same
the
principles apply as the gym or home, really, now.
Yeah.
We're good at this.
But I think, you know, if I was to give any tips about training would be to first, you know, look at the training template,
mm-hmm.
See what equipment you require, and then compare that to the equipment that you have.
Yeah.
So, you know, if your training plan is calling for a bench press, but you're training at home, you don't have a bench or a barbell,
yeah.
it's like, okay, well, what can you do instead? All right, we know the bench press is a chest-based movement, maybe a horizontal pushing movement. So, okay, maybe we can do push-ups. Maybe you've got a set of dumbbells. Maybe you could do a dumbbell chest press, or maybe you have resistance bands and you could do a, you know, a resistance band press of some sort. So it's all about making the program work for the resources that you have available to you. And who knows, maybe you go to a commercial gym and it's got a really cool, you know, chest press machine that you really want to add into the program. I mean, you can make those switches, right?
Yeah.
Swaps around.
As long as you're pressing, that's the whole thing. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's all the movements are broken down. So there's
mm-hmm.
pushing, there's pulling. So you look at the movement and you go, okay, what does this movement do? How can I replicate that?
Mm-hmm.
And also we have tempo, so you can slow it down. If you need to, you can, you know, just really play with that, and that's a good way to elicit results as well.
I mean, there's lots of variables we can manipulate along the way, right? But I think you nailed it before where you said about getting your workout gear ready.
That's a big one for me still, even to this day, even when I have to get up and teach those classes. I mean, sometimes I'm only, bless my people if they're listening, I'm only there because I have to switch the on button on that Zoom class, or I had to open the studio. But I know what I'm going to wear the night before. I know that. I've got everything set out. I even set out my toothbrush because also I'm so early that I don't want to wake anyone else up. I want to have the time to myself. I prepare my coffee the night before. I prepare the bag. The meal is done as well. The meals. So everything is done for me. I take the time the night before, even if it takes me longer. I'd prefer that and have a fresh mind the next day. That's what works for me. Because the day before is gone, as far as I'm concerned. Whatever's happened, it's gone. Even if the kids were late to bed, even if it was a really bad day, it's gone, and I always open a new chapter.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to consider, let's say, gym clothes, right? To have them easily available.
Very.
Right? Because, if you think about your normal clothes that you wear every day, maybe you've got your bedtime clothes, your pajamas or whatever, you've got your work clothes, maybe you've got your casual clothes, but then sometimes the gym clothes get put in their own category, and that gets put into the drawer, the back of the closet, or tucked away somewhere else. If you make it really difficult to access those clothes, you're never going to wear those gym clothes, right?
And they won't be in your mind.
No.
You've got to program your mind the night before to go, that's what I'm wearing, so that's what I'm going to be doing if you're an early morning exerciser.
And then on the flip side, if you train once you get home, you have a choice when you get home from work. You're in your work attire, let that be a uniform or professional wear, whatever you're wearing. You have a choice either to go into home leisure wear or chain straight into active wear. So if you are someone who's going to exercise when you get home, as soon as you get home and you start to get undressed and change into other clothes, you make that decision in that moment. It's like, all right, am I going to exercise now? Or am I going to wear casual clothes? And what's the easiest way to make that decision? It's, well, what's in front of you? So if you are in your bedroom and you're taking off your uniform from work or whatever, and in front of you have your house clothes that you wear, and you put them on, next thing you know, you're on the couch watching Netflix. Or if you have the activewear in front of you and you put that on, next thing you know, you've got your shoes and you're out the door ready to go to the gym. So those little decisions are so powerful that you decide.
They really are. And it's like a sliding doors moment. But the thing is, you will never ever regret choosing the activewear. You'll never go, damn, I wish I hadn't have put that on. I wish I'd have put my house leisure wear, did you say?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I wish I'd have put that on instead. So that you have to, every time you do that, it's a win for you. Every single time, even me, every single day when I put my thing on and I get up and I do it, it's a win for me.
Yeah.
So celebrate the small wins. And once you've got that active wear on, you're guaranteed to be doing your workout.
It's the
pass to it.
I think you nailed it where you said that you never regret putting active wear on.
Never.
No. I think that's all I wore during lockdowns was just active wear. Even now, that's all I wear. The life of a PT.
We're lucky. But the thing is, I have different active wear. I have home leisure active wear, and I know that that's not the active wear that I would be wearing to train. So I have specific things, and I'm like, that's what I want to wear today. That's the image that I want to give out. So I've got leg day tights. I've got cycle tights. But these are the things that I've had to learn. And also, that's also my reward to myself, because I'm not a food-based reward person. I'm going to get a new pair of tights. So everybody needs a reward for goals that they've achieved. So that's also another thing that we can talk about at some point is rewards, and how do you reward yourself every time? Because everybody deserves to feel like they've accomplished something. So say for me, it's very much active wear. So active wear companies, they do well to
support you.
Very much. Because, I'm very much that I do reward myself with that. And previously, that wasn't the case. Years ago, it would have been maybe drinks or other designer things or things that I thought would make me, quote unquote, happy. Whereas now, it's actually something functional. So, everybody deserves that. So if you can kind of shift your mindset and go, I'll reward myself with a book or some activewear rather than food, that's also a win.
Yeah. No good. Look, let's go into some questions. So I guess within prep week, when the start of the challenge comes on, we do face a lot of similar questions and lots of, I guess, people or challengers questioning the plans, or maybe a little bit apprehensive of the plans, or, you know, maybe some questions are quite naive and such in between. So hopefully through these types of recordings, we can go through some common questions that come up on the, in the week. So I think we could start by a question that came up on the Facebook group, and it was by Sarah, and she was making more of a comment rather than a question about the amount of calories in the plan, where, you know, she said that the plan that she was following was between 1800 and 2000 calories, and she was like, surely that can't be right. And there was, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of comments on the plan, and those comments were a mix of people who have previously done the challenge, who, you know, understand the lifestyle, and then some maybe new challengers who may have come from previous styles of challenges or previous styles of energy intakes, which of course creates conflict where we get really fearful or afraid, a little bit worried about the number, where we go, hey, this number is bigger than what I thought, or I think, or you know, I read somewhere.
What I've been taught for years, we've been taught eat less, eat less, eat less.
Yeah. I think, you know, in the past, even within the challenge, we were promoting a, you know, a low calorie intake, where the calorie intakes were between, you know, maybe 1,000 or 1,200 calories a day, you know, which, you know, guarantees weight loss. Like if you are actually consuming that many, that much energy per day, and you're being physically active, you will lose weight. Right?
Yes, you will.
But with the big butt there.
With the big butt. At the same time.
With the big butt. Yeah. So I guess, you know, Nick, talk us through some of those quotation big butts that we're talking about. You know, what problems do you face if we are actually following a really, really low calorie diet?
So technically something called metabolic adaptation. So basically then it'll be really hard for you to ever eat more and see continuous weight loss. You can't go down to eating nothing. Mm-hmm. It's sort of so extreme that it's actually, it doesn't matter what you tell yourself, because usually someone says to me something's unsustainable, I go, I'll show you. But it's simply not sustainable. It's not healthy, and it's not going to get long-term results. Plus also, to build the physique that you are after, you actually have to build some muscle, and muscles don't grow in that sort of a calorie deficit. They simply don't. So it's not, so there are quite a few buts that we've got there that we can unpack.
Yeah.
It's very extreme, and it's not something that you could do for a long, long time. And really what we want you to do is carry on for a long, long time doing these habits and things that will get you that, not just the body, but the actual physique, and the lifestyle that will let you then get better as a person. So calories are good. They're our friend. We just have to work out how to use them.
I think there's definitely lots of fears around a number, and that's all it is. It's a fear of a number, not necessarily of the meaning behind the number or the understanding behind the number. It's just the number.
Yep.
I think the first thing we can really say is that, you know, when we see, you know, maybe other challenges or other nutrition plans where it is, you know, 800 calories, you know, heck, there was like a popular book that came out 100 with like the 800 fast or whatever it was. Like, you know, these numbers get ingrained in us, and we think that, oh, well, I need to be consuming no more than 1,000 calories. Yes. That's the only way to lose weight.
Yes.
Which we know that it's not. So we know that, you know, these really extreme low calorie diets can, you know, be quite negative to our health, especially, you know, within female health. You know, we can lose our, not we, but females can lose their regular cycles. We can face a lot of immune deficiencies, a lot of nutritional deficiencies, and heck, even lots of psychological and eating disorders alongside of that, terrible. Right?
Yeah, that's right. It just, it opens up a can of worms that, why would you go there when there's a different way?
Yeah, there's a different way. The next thing is what you mentioned, which was the idea of metabolic adaptation. Mm. Now, what metabolic adaptation is it's really a survival mechanism, right? Our bodies don't really want to be in an energy deficit, because when we're in an energy deficit, we're slowly starting to reduce the amount of mass that we have. And it starts off by a reduction in body fat, but then it can also reduce our bone mineral density and our muscle mass and our skin and everything in between. So what our body does as a defense mechanism, as a survival mechanism, is it reduces the amount of energy expenditure we do every day, right? And some people, you know, use the language like, oh, I've stepped up my metabolism, or metabolism's crap, or whatever it is. It's often a relation to the metabolism, which is, by definition, what our energy expenditure is. It's our metabolism. So what happens is when we're on a really low energy intake for a prolonged period of time is our bodies learn how to adapt to that energy intake. So for example, maybe you and I, Nick, we're expending, you know, between 2000, maybe a little bit more calories of energy per day. And that's to maintain our body function. That's to maintain our muscle mass. That's to maintain, you know, the activity that we do and all the little hand gestures and things that we do. Now, if you were on a really low calorie diet, so you restricted that to maybe 1,000 calories, okay, you might lose weight for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, but eventually your body's going to reduce things about you so that you get closer to that energy intake. So that might mean that you become less physically active. You become less maybe jittery, little things. You become less Italian where you're using your hands, right? You maybe start putting less effort into the gym. And then we face problems where once we start putting less effort into the gym, you've got no energy to train. You put your body, you give your body a choice where it goes, okay, well, what tissue could I lose? I could lose fat. I could lose bone. I could lose muscle. I can lose maybe some other tissues in my body. If you're not giving it resistance training and a good effort towards exercise, you're making that decision easy for your body where it goes, hey, well, I don't need muscle. That's really expensive tissue. Too heavy. It's expensive to maintain. Then you start losing your muscle mass. So then you require even less energy throughout the day. So then you eating that 1,000 calories becomes really equal and similar to your daily energy expenditure. So then for you to continue to lose weight, you now have to eat maybe 900 calories or 800 calories. You don't have enough energy to maintain an exercise program, so you lose more muscle, right? You're not losing fat. You now become this, quote, you know, skinny fat. And then it's a vicious cycle, a vicious negative cycle, where if you want to continue losing weight, you need to continue to reduce your calories. So
Where to from there?
Where to from there? You can't eat nothing, right? And eating little sucks, right? It does. Being hungry sucks. That's the thing. Like, food is great.
Awesome. Food is fantastic. And the minute that you can learn that, it, like, I'll just speak as a woman, it's the most incredibly empowering thing that you can ever learn in the gym, apart from lifting great weights and feeling like a beast in that way. Learning about food and that it's not the enemy that we might have been taught for years just in our backgrounds is is fuel. Incredibly empowering just to learn that it is fuel and it is structured in this particular program, in this, in the challenge, it's actually structured as your fuel. So if to possibly remove emotional attachment to it and remove emotional attachment to numbers and just see it as fuel. Like, we don't go to the petrol station with our cars and go, well, I don't want to put $25 in because that's just too much for my car, you know, that kind of thing. We don't have that attachment. The car needs it, so we put it in. That's like our bodies.
Same as our bodies.
The same thing.
So I guess the method that we are following with the challenge, the principles that we're following, is that we want to give you enough energy so that you can maintain a physically active lifestyle. That could be that you are completing your you know, step count throughout the day, because we know how good that is for our health.
We need to do that. That's
and then
important.
We also want enough energy to promote resistance training so that we have the capacity to build muscle in the best instance, or at least maintain muscle. So then when we do enter this calorie deficit just slightly, you give your body a choice where it goes, hey, am I going to lose muscle, or am I going to lose fat, or anything in between? You want to make that decision for your body and going, hey, I want to lose muscle. I want to maintain as much muscle. I want to lose body fat because I want to maintain as much muscle as I can so that I can keep my energy expenditure up really high. And when you think about a body transformation, if you think about these, you know, amazing photos we see online, on Instagram, everywhere in between, where people look muscular, that's muscle. Like, we need muscle to get that shape, that tone, everything in between.
I have been the skinny fat, and I have like what I am now, which is muscular. And I can tell you that the tone, that is muscle. So when people say they want to tone, it's just muscles being more visible underneath the body fat. They are there. You have to have muscles. You have to build muscles. And muscles are only built by food and, and training. And also, the step count, it's important to reach that. So if you don't have the energy to reach your step count, you're in a vicious cycle here, because you need to get out and do that as well. That's part of the plan.
Now, I guess we create these plans with our avatar in mind. And the way that we calculate this is we grab all of the information from the past 3 years of challenges. We average that out and we find the most average challenger that's male, female in this specific program that we do. Then we run some nice statistics where we work out standard deviation and we work it out so that a good 80% of challengers that enter the challenge and follow the nutrition template will be within the goal of that template, let that be at a maintenance or at a energy deficit. Okay, so we like to use a little bit of math to create our programs here. Now, there is a chance that you are a outlier in that number, and that's okay. Like, let's say I'm writing a program for a guy, and you know, let's say one guy is 190 centimeters tall and 140 kilos versus another guy who's maybe 160 centimeters tall and he's 70 kilos.
Yeah.
How could both of these guys follow the same program?
Yeah.
Now, we face the same question often within females as well. You know, let's say one girl might be 170 centimeters tall, the other one's 150 centimeters tall, different heights, way different, you know, body mass in between.
Yes.
So what do we do? You know, should we be changing the program now or anything in between? So I guess before I pass it to you, Nick, this is what I recommend to challengers, right? So remember that the starting point of your journey isn't the end point. So if you start at a number, let's say 1800 to 2000 calories, that isn't the end point because there is a variable where we can modify that. Now, it is highlighted in your nutrition template in the FAQ section at the very top of what to do if you've reached a weight loss plateau. I actually did a whole podcast on this, on what to do if you're not losing weight.
Yeah.
Now, when we're starting the challenge, the best thing that we could do is to test the program for at least 4 weeks, right? We're not going to see the changes by following the meal plan for one day or the energy intake for one day, right? Let's say your actual energy expenditure is 1,000 calories and you're eating 2,000 calories, 1,000 calories surplus. You know, it's going to take quite some time for you to start putting on weight, right?
Mm.
So we need to first test the program, right? So we need to test and collect data. And that could, the perfect data to collect is our body weight and measure that over time. Once we follow the nutrition plan as it is for 4 weeks and we track our weight, if your weight isn't changing or if you're gaining weight, then we can have good data to say, okay, well, let's reduce the energy intake slightly.
Yeah.
Or if you are losing weight, great, happy days. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, that's right. Why there's a check-in. You
that's know, why there's a check-in.
That's what it's there for.
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah.
Over the next phase of the program, weeks 5 to 8, 9 to 12, there's a slight calorie deficit as we move through.
That's the other thing. You've got to get ready for that because that is coming.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Yeah.
So
take the food now.
Yeah, we know, you know. Like, it's important to enjoy that. And also, you just collect data on your body because with the training and the way it's structured, there's not a lot necessarily that's going to happen that's going to be terrifically terrible. It's only really going to be on the good side of things, no matter where you land, because you'll have created new habits, new relationships with food, and that's only a good thing moving forward. It really is. And then take that 4 weeks, and it's not a race, even though it is a challenge, because we know sometimes with slow and steady also, we need to look, if people that are getting to know their bodies and collecting data, that will come in handy later on.
Yeah, yeah. Especially like the little things, right? Because like you might not be losing weight, but you might find that your stress levels are improving, your sleep quality is improving, your performance in the gym is improving. Great, you know, we're seeing wins.
Hitting PBs.
Right? So you might be finding wins or in all the other aspects of your life, but the number on the scales might not be changing as drastically as you want it to yet.
Yet is the thing. So don't be too impatient, because if you can get those other things that Coach Steve just mentioned, if you can get them down pat, that's pretty much the secret key that anyone wants to give you about your health and fitness or the sleep, you know, hitting, continuously improving in the gym, that sort of stuff. That is the key. That is the surrounding key to sustainability and to really nail this.
Yeah. Like one of probably my favorite style of transformation is the body recomposition, where someone's body weight doesn't change too much, but they find improvements in other areas. Like they gain a little bit of muscle, they gain a bunch of strength, they, you know, improve their sleep. You can see it in their face. They're, you know, they're full of energy and you're like, great, that's my favorite transformation.
Yeah.
But the number on the scale might be that they lost, you know, 1 kilo over 12 weeks. Who cares, right?
Yeah.
But they just look amazing. That's my favorite type of transformation.
That's actually me. You know,
yeah.
I don't, my weight doesn't deviate too much. It hasn't really in my whole recomposition, but my entire physique is completely different from head to toe.
Yeah.
So I can promise you, if I was just focusing on a number of the scale going down, I mean, I wouldn't be here anymore. There'd be nothing left of me, but also I would have missed an entire recomposition. Nobody, you don't walk around with your body weight written on your head. So it's basically people just look at you and go, oh, that person trains, they eat well, they look good. That's all. You know, your body weight is your own data that you need to use, like the time. You know, it's just about tracking data and seeing where it's at and trends.
And trends. And that's it. And like, I think, you know, the number on the scale is like an important number to look at, right? Where, you know, it is information and it helps us to tell a story about our journey. But it isn't everything.
No, it's
like,
certainly not.
Because
not at all.
Your weight might be, you know, consistently, you know, maybe fluctuating 1 or 2 kilos. Yeah. And that's normal, that normal fluctuation.
Every day, all day.
Yeah. That could be everything from, you know, you drinking some more water one day versus you having a really big salad versus, you know, you having a really big leg session.
Training sessions.
Your weight will fluctuate. Yep. And if anything, at the start of the challenge, you might find that your weight will increase. You know, we're starting a new diet. Maybe you've started a creatine load. You started training again. We're getting more glycogen in our muscle bellies. Eating more carbohydrates.
Absolutely.
Geez, your body weight will take a few weeks just to kind of like flatten out and be like, well, what's happening?
Yeah, with creatine, it's what is it like? It's about 10 days or so. If you take it for the first time, you're going to see it's a brilliant thing to take. So you are going to see that fluctuation, but that's actually a really good thing. Your muscles will look fuller.
I think
you spoke about it actually last night in the live.
I did. Creatine, the most researched sports supplement. But look, let's just answer one last question about macros. Now, we often get questions about, you know, how many macros are in the plan, or you know, how many carbs are this, or I heard carbs are really bad, why does the program have carbs? And there's often questions relating to macros. So I guess, you know, Nick, talking about macros, or especially our good friend carbs, you know, if people are fearful of carbs, like, what would you tell them?
I would say, in terms of, just from a training perspective, carbohydrates are going to give you the most readily available energy that you need to really train hard in the gym. And we do need to train hard for this, because this is the program structured. It's got a lot of different exercises. You need to be on the ball, so you want to rock up fueled. Carbs are the best for that. So just from that perspective, I would say you've got to really embrace carbohydrates. Also, each their own, but if you're restrictive on the carbs, there's actually nowhere to go. So if you can make them your friend, if you can actually just put up with a little bit of a weight increase as your body gets used to it, as your muscles fill up, then it'll go back to normal anyway, just like the creatine. So just have that little bit of uncomfortable to get, you get then so comfortable. I've tried to do HIIT classes like on the bike with no carbs over time, and I've had no energy, so my actual calorie burn at the end has been really not anything to write home about. So for me, as an athlete, it's their fuel. It's so important. I mean, for me, I like to hit, obviously I have to hit my protein, but then for me it's carbs over fats, but that's just me. So As a sort of high performance athlete, it's very important for me. It's my fuel. I just think of them as fuel. Carbs are also, they actually release serotonin, so it makes you feel happy. So therefore, you're not going to walk around grumpy all the time. So if we're just thinking as a lifestyle thing, you don't want to be doing this challenge and be the biggest grump in the world as well. So you want to live and breathe health and fitness. So that's just another thing.
Now, I guess when people ask, well, firstly, with the nutrition template, you've probably seen it. There's no indication of macros. You know, we don't tell you your macro split, or we say that you have to have 200 grams of, you know, carbs per day, or you need to, you know, blah, blah, blah. The only thing that we recommend is to prioritize protein. We want protein because we know how good a higher protein diet is for body composition changes, for maintaining muscle, all these good things that come with that. And I guess my big tip is, if you choose not to follow the nutrition plan, or maybe you're not doing the challenge, is one change you can make to your diet approach right now is to build your meals around a source of protein.
Definitely. So, fills you up too.
Yeah. So, you know, let's say you have cereal for breakfast, you know, your cereal might just be like, let's say, Wheat Bix and milk. you know, there's no good source of protein there. So if you were to add, let's say, a scoop of protein powder to that, then you're building the meal around a serving of protein.
That's right.
Same as lunchtime. If you're choosing to have a salad, but, you know, it's just maybe some leafy greens, some tomato, and I don't know, some cheese and some dressing. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's no good source of protein. That protein could be, you know, maybe a vegan source like a tofu or a tempeh, or, you know, an animal product like maybe some chicken or tuna or
tuna
whatever.
Can, you know, anything like that.
So we want to build our programs around protein. Now, the recommendation for protein is very broad, where, you know, the Australian nutritional guidelines talk about, you know, maybe 0.8 grams per kilo of body weight. That's your current body weight, where there's some data that, you know, suggests upwards of 3 to 3.5 grams with actually some sort of linear correlation between how much protein we have and how much muscle we build. With the higher proteins, more muscle. But then we face problems if we have more than 3 grams per kilo of body weight, where we feel really bloated, really gassy, really full.
It does get a limit, it is
a little bit of a limit. So I guess the overall goal that I'd recommend you to focus on is to have at least 1.5 grams of protein per kilo of body weight. So that's the lower limit. A good target to aim for is about 2 grams, because it's easy to calculate that. You know, me, I'm about 100 kilos, double that, 200 grams. All right, I'm aiming for about 200 grams of protein, right? So once we've got our protein sorted, which is built around the nutrition plans, where our avatar person, our good average person, would fit within this protein range that we set for you, especially if you're having some of the sports supplements that we recommend, such as a protein shake and the nighttime shake, you know, easily hitting our protein targets. But then when it comes down to our carb and fat ratio, it isn't super important, like what your ratio is, because, you know, we have evidence of people losing weight with really low fat diets. We have evidence of people losing weight with really low carb diets, right? And everything, every sort of mix in between, we find that people lose weight. So the overarching principle is energy balance and is to be aware of our calorie intake. But, you know, if you want to, you know, focus on more carbs, great. If you want to focus on more fats, great. However, there'll be limitations if you focus more on one versus the other. So if you choose to go no carbs, zero carbs, or low carbs, or whatever carb mix, you know, you may face some problems with your training where you won't have as much energy through your training programs if you choose to have a low carb. Similarly, if you choose to have a really low fat approach, you may face some problems with your overall health, because we do need fats for
life.
That's
right, we do.
So the best split,
for especially women's hormones and things as well.
So, you know, if you are one to, you know, grab the program, put it all into a tool like MyFitnessPal and sit there and be like, oh, well, what macros should I be doing? The simplest recommendation I would say for you is to do a nice even split between all three, where we're doing maybe, you know, 33.3% proteins, 33.3 carbs, 33.3 fats.
Yeah, and that's not going to be an excessive amount of anything either. No. When you break that down like that, it's not going, you're not going to look at the carb portion of that and go, oh my gosh, it's so many grams of carbs. It's not going to be. It's going to be quite doable.
Yeah. And, you know, if we spread that out across different sources of carbohydrates, you've got, you know, things like, you know, maybe rice and pasta, then you've got things like, you know, different types of fruits and vegetables, happy days. If you break down your fats from everything from the fat that's included in maybe some, you know, animal products such as like beef and chicken, and then some fats such as, you know, maybe some like avocado or olive oil or nuts and things like that, you know, we create a nice whole balanced food intake, which is what the nutrition plans are built for, right?
And that's what we want. That's what we ultimately want. We want that balance, because balance equals sustainability and sustainability equals results.
Because, you know, we want you to join us in the fitness lifestyle, the fitness cult. It's almost a cult.
Well,
where
we're obsessed. So we just would like everybody else to be
obsessed,
so,
right?
You know.
And part of being obsessed is to make it part of your lifestyle. Because, you know, we don't want you to just be doing the challenge for 12 weeks, you know, wipe your hands away and off you go.
No.
Like, you know, not saying that you need to do every challenge forever, but we want you to be part of the fitness lifestyle, where you are one to go to the gyms. You are the identity of a fit person. You are someone that goes on walks on the weekend and plays with your kids, and, you know, are active with your friends. Like, we want you to be that person. Yeah. And
you see it on the forums and also in the Facebook group with the people that have completed the challenges, and then suddenly they're the people that people go to for advice. Mm-hmm. And that sort of, it's a pay it forward thing. And you will be one of those people that you will have come from going, I don't really know what this plan is, to people going to you, what do I do? And how good is that to be able to pay it forward? Because that's that sort of, in the fitness world, that's what we like to do. And it's a great feeling to be able to help someone else as well. So, you know, once you get the tools, but it doesn't even have to just be a stranger. It can actually be your own family. That's the other thing. So once you become empowered with these tools, you can help your kids, you can help your partner, you know, parents, anything like that. So it's bigger than just you,
yeah,
in a way.
Yeah. Mm. And like the best feeling is when you inspire someone else to even just be aware of it, right?
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that they need to go full on crazy and, you know, going to the gym every day and, you know, eating all the food and stuff. Like, you know, a simple one could be like someone like my mum, right? She's in the Facebook group. She likes all my posts. Thanks, mum. But, you know, I've inspired her to take her health more seriously.
Exactly.
And that has led her to quit smoking. That's led her to make better decisions around the food. And that's led her to inspire other people within her own little community.
Yeah.
You know, her friends that she's around, her partner that she's with, all these things to live a healthier life.
Exactly.
And you know, I'm there for support, but I don't tell her what she needs to do. I'm not preaching it towards her. But, you know, inspiring her to even just consider health is what we do it for.
Exactly.
And what, you know, is the next step for you once you complete the challenge, right?
Ah, 100%.
But look, we start the challenge next week. Next Monday is balls rolling. I'm sure many of you listening to this have started the challenge already, where you've started testing the programs, which is all that testing. You know, now is the time to be, you know, modifying your program to make it work for you. So, for example, if you're at home, you don't have a bench press, you know, make those changes.
Yep.
If you don't like kangaroo or fish or whatever it is, you know, make those changes to your nutrition template, because when it comes Monday, when we officially start, you know, then it's game time.
Yeah,
then it's time
for
you to...
Like in a triathlon, you know, you set all your equipment up. You certainly wouldn't jump into that water without having all the rest of your equipment set up. So you take that time to set yourself up fully, equip yourself for Monday, then it's a breeze.
Yeah.
Because you just follow the program.
So imagine right now you're like on a little boat, right?
Mm.
You're on a boat. And you're setting up all your equipment and you're about to jump in the water for a swim.
Mm.
But then we're also on a boat next to you. We're on our own boat, the coach boat. Maybe it's like a yacht.
Yeah.
I can get around.
Are we on a yacht? Yeah.
We're
cool.
On a yacht.
All right.
So we're on
that dinghy.
No little boat. We're on the coach yacht.
We're chilling on the coach yacht.
You're on the coach yacht. Yeah, yeah. And we're here next to you, offering you advice, support, everything in between.
Yeah.
So if you are on your boat and you feel a little bit lost, maybe you're a little bit unsure, not sure what to do, what should you be doing in prep week, what should you be doing next week when it starts, don't worry. You can reach out to the coaching yacht.
Yep.
We're here. I might be in the hot tub.
I'll be out with the life jacket on, getting
just
sweaty,
waiting for everybody. Yeah, yeah.
It's okay.
Or maybe in the yacht gym or something.
Yeah,
like that. Yeah,
I probably
yeah.
will be.
The yacht gym.
You can't be in there all day. They can.
No. So we'll be definitely on the deck of the yacht, looking out for you. So if you ever need help and support, please reach out to the coach yacht. We're here to help. You know, you can reach out to us on the forum. I basically live on the forum when the challenge is on. Also in the Facebook group. You know, when I'm not on the forum, we're on the Facebook group.
Yeah, we're very reachable. You will find us.
Yes.
We're there. So.
And, you know, we've got a team. So it's not just us. You know, all the ambassadors and heck, all the previous challengers, you know, understand the system.
Yep.
So if you are feeling a bit lost, please reach out to us.
Absolutely.
You know, there's always lots of...
That's what we're here for.
Crowd-supported answers that will definitely help you. Now, there are a few other ways that you might be able to contact us, which might take a little bit longer, such as, you know, if you directly message the social media pages or if you try to email the challenge, that might take a little bit longer just because of where we're living at the moment, where we're living on the forums. Mm-hmm. So probably the quickest way is to go through the forum. The quickest way to find a previous challenger is probably through the Facebook group. But, you know, we're here to help, like always.
We are.
So, guys, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.
See ya.